If you will bow your heads with me, we're going to run to him. Father, I just want to thank you for your word tonight. I want to thank you for what you've done in each and every one of us. Because now we are asking for ears to hear, eyes to see, and an understanding heart to obey, so that your plan for our lives will unfold. And we will not buckle under to fear or reasonings. In Jesus' name. I want to confess to you that if you would have said to me when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit that I was going to be a pastor someday, I would have told you, well, re-examine your brain. Make sure you take that big fire and throw the brain in it, because this kid's never going to be a pastor. But God had a different plan. I also want to tell you that we're going to be going to John chapter 10. And as I was studying this afternoon, it talks about the Lord being the good shepherd, and obviously Moses was a shepherd when he got disqualified from being a prince. So he went from a prince to a shepherd. Jesus came to shepherd those that were in trouble. So verse 1 says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. I stress, who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. And the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I love this. And I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. It's a command that he received. It's not something he had a choice about. There are times that God will give you choices, but there are other times he's going to tell you, do it. And you may not feel like doing what he's asking you to do. I was speaking to someone this week, and in my conversation, I heard myself say, you know, I never wanted this job. Because laying yourself down and letting others walk all over you is not exactly comfortable. Oh, but you must have had a desire in your heart. Absolutely not. There was no desire. And then I got a little angry. And I says, I'll remind you that I worked 18 years on a prayer line and I heard every complaint about a pastor that you could hear. I did this week after week, year after year, and I knew every single thing that people say about the pastor. And you know what? They mean it. And they're not afraid to expose their anger, their resentment, their bitterness, and their judgments, and their criticalness, etc., etc. Well, obviously, after listening for 18 years, you'd think that there would be enough wisdom for me to get out of that job. You'd think that, right? I mean, have you ever listened to somebody complain about the boss? The executive at the top, whoever that happens to be? I mean, it's pretty sickening. Oh, they did me wrong, and they did this, and they stole from me, and they did that, and they did that, and I heard every excuse. And my job was to turn it around, ask them to forgive, and then ask them that they would pray for his weaknesses. And you know what? I had some that wanted to spit in my face. And I knew it. Because they were so bitter. It says in the scripture here that some shepherds are hirelings. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, why are they so angry with this man? And the Lord said, they're not angry with the man, they're angry with the office. And I wasn't catching on. Later, I realized that they were not angry with the one that was upstairs. They were angry at every pastor in the book because they had been their hirelings. Men called themselves pastors, but they didn't have a pastor's heart. They were there for the money. They were there for excuses. They were there to have the place of prestige. They were there to sit at the front of the table. They were there not to serve, but to do everything else but serve. So they were angry at the office. That's, you know, when you realize, oh my God, it's not the one upstairs that they're angry at. In my case, because his office was upstairs and mine was downstairs for many years. Later on, they put me on another corner, and that's another story. You know, Jesus came to serve the Jewish nation. He came to set the captives free, and you know what? They couldn't even enjoy the moment he was there. They were so tied up in anger against the hierarchy because the hierarchy had been hirelings. They were looking for their job, and if you listen to the word and you listen to their arguments about getting rid of Jesus, they're about to lose their position, so they'll do anything and everything in order to keep that position of authority. They didn't care if the Jews were being persecuted by the Romans. It was not the issue. They wanted their hides to be well covered. And that's when the Lord began to push me to understand that I needed to change my strategy. Instead of being angry at the people, I need to lift them up so that their hearts would be healed because they had been injured by the hirelings called pastors. There were fakes out there, but they couldn't tell the difference. And for a change, I was starting to be enlightened inside my own mind. Oh my God, now I see. Did you ever say that? You finally wake up. My God, these people have been abused. They've been used and they've been what? Hurt. I could give you the title teacher. And in my upbringing, there were some teachers that were genuine. They were love instruments for children. But there was also abusers. There were some that took advantage of the kids. There were some that were there for the money, not because they had a love for kids and a way of helping them to come up out of the hard spaces that they were in. And I can remember many people saying to me, I can't stand teachers, I can't stand school. Well, maybe you got injured. Maybe you need to pray for those who injured you. Bah, they don't deserve it. I don't like any teachers. Well, Jesus here is telling you, there's fakes out there. I should have heard a couple of amens. There are fakes out there. There are genuine people that love the Lord and love the sheep, but there are others that don't give a darn. And so they give a bad name to the ones that are real. I'm about to step into something. I'm just having a vision, and I'm going to give you what's in my head. This goes back to 1983 or 84. I'm not sure. I think it's 84. It was about a year before I actually started working full-time for Pastor Gino. Yeah, actually, it goes back into 82 because the suit came. We were sued by the state of Massachusetts, my wife and I, and the corporate structure that we had. We were sued for a big amount of money, and the money had to be in by January 1st, 1983. And I cried out to God because I didn't have the money. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to pay it. And to make a long story as short as possible, the Lord sent me upstairs in my bookcase, and I found a book called Two Kinds of Faith by E.W. Kenyon. And out of that book came the scriptures that I needed in order to take faith for what God could do that no man could do. And after being obedient to do what he told me to do, month after month, week after week, I remember going into Gino's office because my final appointment came in July. They had told me I was supposed to be by this January 1st, but by July, we had saved up enough and emptied our bank account to the penny. Actually, I think we had less than a dollar left, and we paid off with an agreement from the state because it was their word against mine and their word against my accountant. And instead of paying everything which had to be interest bearing, etc., etc., they erased the interest, and we ended up paying them off to get rid of it. And when I walked into Gino's office, I had just left the state office, and I had just given them the final check. And everything was paid in full. And now I'm crying out to the Lord, right? Thank you, Lord. So I walked in with a great big smile. How many know it feels good to pay your bill? Even if it is debatable, it's good to get it over with. So he says, "You look awful chipper today." I said, "I have just had a marvelous victory in the Lord." I said, "I am so happy, Pastor, because for the first time in months and months, I have freedom from the suit that was filed against my wife and I back in December." I said, so he's questioning me, you know, and he's full of questions. Why didn't you tell me? I would have never bought that new piano, baby grand. We could have paid it off for you. And I said, whoops. Did I ever ask you for any money? He said, no. Did I ask you to borrow any money? He said, no. I said, why are you going into guilt? He said, but Kim, you didn't have to go through this. We had money set aside for emergencies for people in the sheepfold. I said, what did you say? Well, he said, we had money set aside for people who needed to borrow, could borrow. I said, well, nobody ever told me. Not that I wanted it. I would rather obey and stand on my own two feet. Not that it feels better, but I didn't have knowledge. But what I did learn that day is this man was willing to put dollars on the line to help me out. And that was unheard of because I was accustomed to hirelings. I'm serious. I was accustomed to hirelings, but I didn't know. But that day, I saw the difference between this man of God that was willing to say, we have a set fund set aside for people who really are in trouble, that are really in trouble, not the ones that are fakes. Now, there's fakes out there. Anybody know about fakes? Okay, they're always in trouble. They're always looking for a handout. But he said, we would have definitely been able to help you. You've been one of our friends now. He says, we've been training you since 1981, actually. That's when I started training under him. So, you understand? You get to taste the heart of a person when they're willing to take a dollar out of their pocket and say, here, go to McDonald's. They might not take you to a fancy place, but at least you'll put something in your tummy. Verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly, Christ or the Messiah. Jesus answered, I tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Are you hearing? No one can snatch them out of my hand. So who can pull you out of his sheep pen? Nobody. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I really believe that you need to remember that the Holy Spirit knows about your hurts. He knows about your hearts. And he knows the wounds you've received. He knows the hirelings that you've had, and he knows the ones that are real. It's quite a lesson to find out that you may have thought you were in a great place, and all the time you were working for hirelings. And that hurts. But I remind you, pray for those who abuse, pray for those who are hurting the saints, because it does give the shepherds a bad name. The ones that are willing, the ones that are real servants, no different than teachers. There are good teachers out there. There are some genuine people of God that are really, really laying their lives on the line for those that are hurting. And I could go with any title. Could be judges, could be doctors, could be teachers, could be political people. It doesn't matter. There are are many good people in this country and all over the world, but there is also hirelings in every field. Ask the Holy Spirit to keep you free. And all of God's people said, keep yourself free. Amen. Share some hugs with each other.